top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All righty, well. All right, checking in at
number five.
You know who's having a worse day than, well,
Roseanne?
Yeah, Roseanne's having a bad day. I think Melania, I'm not sure if she's having a good day or a bad day. We just want to hear from her.
We just want to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, that we nobody believes that tweet was from her.
Mm-hmm. And then when the president, when the press corps asked the president on the White House lawn, where is she? Oh, she's right over there, and kind of pointed to a window, kind of unconvincingly. So yeah, right there.
I know.
So then just everyone sort of
I swear to God,
crazy.
I remember when Scott Peterson did this.
Stop.
Check the blue barrels.
Anyway, back to Drew Peterson. Well, both Scott and Drew Peterson.
Two of them. Yeah. Both Stacey's too, weren't they?
Yes. Okay. So here's the deal. So the guy having the worst day today is Jeff Sessions, because Jeff Sessions awoke this morning to, you know, his wife came into the bedroom, and I'll bet you that Jeff Sessions, he goes to sleep in like a sleeping gown and a hat, like Ebenezer Scrooge. Don't you kind of see that? He's an old school kind of guy.
He is.
Has a glass of milk before
bed. Very traditional.
Yeah, he's got the hat that's got the big, like the pom-pom on the end of it, and it's like a big kind of a thing.
The big slippers.
Yeah. Fuzzy. So she got, honey, she comes in to wake him up. The president just tweeted about you and said you're useless, and he wishes that he never hired you in the first place. Well, because he didn't say he was going to recuse himself. Now, this is an interesting thing. Then the president had some surrogates go out for him and make the case. And here is Jason Chaffetz, who is a congressman, who went on Fox and Friends to say,
Jeff Sessions is the attorney general, is there in name only. He's absolutely worthless. The sooner the president names a new attorney general, the better. He should never have recused himself. He didn't need to in a counterintelligence operation. And we have major systemic problems at the FBI, and he's nowhere on document production, nowhere on these things. I mean, you got Rod Rosenstein running the place. It's time to get rid of Jeff Sessions.
Stein. Okay. No one says Stein.
He did have to recuse himself. And they should have known that going in, that he had to recuse himself. That if he was a part of the campaign, he could not oversee the investigation into the campaign.
Right.
That's pretty much lawyering 101 right there.
True. But the New York Times today, breaking the story, I believe, that the president then went to Jeff Sessions to get him to reassert his control after he had recused himself, and that may now be central to the Bob Mueller investigation.
Right, and then he's like, I can't do that. I can't. This is you guys don't understand the law, which is the whole reason we're having this investigation in the first place.
It's a lot of confusion.
So then, there's Trey Gowdy, who went on CBS,
mm-hmm.
and he's a congressman. Who has he's got the intense eyes. He's got the guy who looks like he's about to, like, he just got roided up and he's about to run through a wall.
He looks like he's a marathoner. You just get that sense.
He's got that, yes. But it's interesting. He's not running for re-election, so it's fascinating how truthful these guys get when they're not worried about having to stand in front of their voters.
If I were the president and I picked someone to be the country's chief law enforcement officer, and they told me later, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be able to participate in the most important case in the office, I would be frustrated, too. That's how I read that. Is Senator Sessions, why didn't you tell me this before I picked you? There are lots of really good lawyers in the country. Mm-hmm. He could have picked someone else.
Again, the problem here is that mm-hmm. they should have known this going in.
Yeah.
But then Trey Gowdy also said, and I found this interesting, he said that based on what he saw of the evidence in the Spygate mm-hmm. scandal the last couple of days, he goes, the FBI did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, acted properly when it used an informant and gathered information, because they were after the Russians and not the president, was his belief after looking at the FBI's documents.
Which completely... And these are people who've come out now. The only other person who is not saying, everybody else has said, yeah, we saw it, and yeah, they did the right thing, Republicans and Democrats. The president yesterday said this.
So how do you like the fact they had people infiltrating our campaign? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No.
People infiltrating our campaign. Is there anybody in this big, beautiful arena right now that's infiltrating our campaign? Would you please raise your hand?
He's trying to keep the public on his side because it seems like certain members of the of his own party are saying now, look, that let's push back on this Spygate theory. It's not exactly how it's been portrayed.
Those rallies creep me out.
Yeah, and when you say...
Really?
Everybody gets this...
And when you say, can you imagine, it's almost like, can you believe this? Like, I'm making this up. Do you believe it or not? Can you imagine this?
The fact is you can't really, because he is making that part up. They weren't infiltrating his campaign. They were investigating the Russian infiltration of his campaign. Is that a distinction without a difference? No. That's actually a different thing. But and again, you've got Trey Gowdy, all the rest of these people have seen it. Nunez will say nothing, but all the other Republicans have seen it go, yeah, no, this is, you want the FBI to take a look at this. Or is the other option to do nothing? I mean, why does the president, he doesn't want to acknowledge that the Russians are involved in this, because then if he does, then it discounts his presidency, he thinks. But that's the exact issue here. He's got to acknowledge that the Russians did try to do this. So in order to stop this time or in 2020, which, by the way, they're going to work against him at some point, mm-hmm. right? Because he will no longer be useful to them. Or really whip things up so that it becomes really hard for him to govern, let alone, you know, win, which is already kind of happening. You see it. I mean, this is like, you know, it's just not good. It's not good. All right. I haven't even gotten to this part yet.
There's more?
There's more. Wait, hold on. We're at
number four.
So this is more from the national rally where that last thing came from. And the president is back to 2016 again. He was talking about Hillary. He's talking about Bernie. He's talking about Bill. What?
In all fairness, I'm no fan of crazy Bernie Sanders. I'm no fan. But I want to tell you, he got screwed. He did. Crazy Bernie. He still doesn't know what happened. No, he doesn't know. I saw him on television. I don't know what happened. Me too. I thought he was winning.
Why was he talking about Bernie?
Yeah, I don't know. It is funny, though. If you go to these rallies, it is almost as though Trump lost and he's not the president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just imagine if Trump had lost, how loud he would be right now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, but he won and he's still this loud. It's
actually amazing. If you go minute, the Indianapolis Star did a minute by minute deconstruction of what was said at that rally, and it's pretty funny because it just goes, it skips topics. So I was trying to find the context for Bernie, why he was mentioned, and there really isn't any. He goes from I love country music to reporters and how fake they are to, you know, Tennessee needs a senator to support President Trump, so he does a little stumping there. And then he just moves on, jobs, which you think he would be talking about, and the things he's he's done in his administration. But then just goes all over the board. You're right, Hillary, Obama, Bernie.
How about Jay-Z?
The only way she filled up the arena was to get Jay-Z. And his language was so filthy that it made me like the most clean-cut human being on earth. He'd stand up there before those crowds. And by the way, without any musical instruments, I had much bigger crowds than he was drawing.
Oh, gosh. Why is this such a competition?
Yeah, now, all right. All right. Show of hands.
Okay.
Show of hands. When the people started booing Jay-Z, were they booing Jay-Z? What do you think they were booing there?
The filthy language.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
Boo.
You know what Jay-Z's like.
Oh, gosh. Did you talk to someone in Indy about that?
I'm going to tell you what that Jay-Z's all about. Tell you right now.
Using his instruments.
I hear he's got a big one, too.
This is just a terrible moment that we are living in the world, because we're kind of moving backwards here. We're deconstructing. We don't need to deconstruct. You know, the president could really do. He's got an economy going. It's wacky, but there does seem to be at least some movement on North Korea.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, he's got
some small slice of hope there.
If Wilbur Ross can stay conscious long enough, he might be able to cut a deal with China. He's done all these things he's promised he was going to do, and he's done them. I mean, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, at least his supporters, you know, get to say he did exactly, you know, finally a guy did everything they said they were going to do. But why the injection of the I'm better than you, and the vitriol, the anger, the resentment piece? Why does he still want to whip that up?
The name calling.
Right. Why doesn't he play? I mean, you know, Reagan, people get, you know, there's a lot of people in his camp. Well, he did like Reagan. He's nothing. Those people were in a coma if they think that's the case in the 80s, because Reagan was always about, as was George H.W. Bush, was always about creating a vision of greatness that wasn't about making other people bad. It was about lifting everybody up,
mm-hmm. Elevating the country.
Right.
He has some supporting evidence for that. You know, when you look at the jobs picture and unemployment, there is a real story to tell.
Yes, there's a story. I mean, it's a trend line that's been going before him, but sure. He's got a story. It's he can take credit for it. He can take credit for it, and that's fine. Go do that and talk about how America should come together and be great. And if black unemployment and Hispanic unemployment and female unemployment is at the lowest ever, those are all good things to tout. But not like, how come no one tells you that that's not happening? That's not it. How about, like, get everybody going in the right direction? You can just take the first half of the sentence out and tell the rest of it, and everybody go, okay, and not make it about yourself. Is that so hard? Apparently it is. I'm up four octaves now.
I know you are, Ro. You got to take a deep breath.
Okay. Judy, what's coming up?
A grand jury indicts Harvey Weinstein for rape and other sexual acts. God. To add to your misery.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Did you see, by the way? I predicted this was going to happen. They had to use the extra. They had to do the four sets of handcuffs to handcuff him. Did you see that?
They did?
Yeah.
Four sets?
Well, there was like two sets. Two sets of handcuffs. Yes, two sets of handcuffs.
Maybe he requested it.
He's into that?
Violetta?
Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN-TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini, 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11.
All right, here we go. Top 5 of 5 continues. We've worked our way to the
number 3.
Former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett appeared on MSNBC last night and spoke about the tweet leveled against her by Roseanne Barr.
I'm fine. I'm worried about all the people out there who don't have a circle of friends and followers who come right to their defense. The person who's walking down a street minding their own business and they see somebody cling to their purse or want to cross the street. Or every black parent I know who has a boy who has to sit down and have a conversation, the talk, as we call it. And those, as you say, those ordinary examples of racism that happen every single day.
All right. So then the president went to Twitter today, mm-hmm. to go after Bob Iger at ABC, saying, how come Iger called up Valerie Jarrett to apologize but didn't apologize to me for all the horrible things ABC has said about me? It's about me and Melanie, my wife.
Melania.
Thank you. Who? Here's Sarah Sanders.
Where was the apology from Bob Iger for ESPN hiring Keith Olbermann after his numerous expletive-laced tweets attacking the president as a Nazi and even expanding Olbermann's role after that attack against the president's family? This is a double standard that the president is speaking about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going to say this one more time, and then I'm going to give it a rest.
Okay.
By the way, the second part is a lie.
I knew it would be.
The difference is you can argue and name call when it comes to people's behavior or their even their politics or religion, which of course, you know, is impolite, but it is you are expressing an opinion about them based on known information that you have about them, that this is how they behave or this is what they say they believe. Right? That's one thing. So to have somebody call Donald Trump a Nazi is a gross misrepresentation and overstatement, but at least it's within the realm of politics, as the president does all the time. Even I've heard the president even makes things up, but or embellishes them. But the difference here is Roseanne Barr was not insulting Valerie Jarrett for her beliefs. She was insulting Valerie Jarrett for her physical and racial characteristics.
Right. She says, of course,
things she cannot control.
She says that she always thought she was Iranian and white and whatever, but she's since and even provided proof that she and her son, you know, texted each other about how she thought that Valerie Jarrett was white. But I don't know how that makes that
just imagine that
tweet any more defensible. She does say it's indefensible and says, yes. But one, now she's saying one stupid joke in a lifetime of fighting for civil rights and for all minorities should not have broken, taken me, you know, that kind of thing. So she's showing remorse. She's saying it's totally wrong. She's not defending it, but she is trying to bring some other people down with her. She's pointing fingers at Michelle Obama. She's, you know, she other people.
She says Michelle Obama knew the director, the new person at ABC who was the head person for development.
Channing Dungey, yeah, the new head of development there.
Yeah, and that Michelle Obama ordered her to fire her, which I don't think is true. But, you know, Roseanne's nuts. I mean, let's just be honest.
There was a boycott
here.
ABC hashtag trending within minutes of her tweet going out there, even at 2 in the morning. Within a few hours, it was pretty clear it was not being received well.
All right, moving on here to, moving all the way.
Number two.
I always hated this song. Apparently, it's very important musically.
Why is that?
I don't know. Toto, you know, they're this band. They were around for a long time. It was like musicians. They were like studio musicians, right? And they were very, very famous.
Sure.
That was their biggest hit, Africa. And because it's instrumentally perfect and written. Some people have said it's the most perfectly written song of all time. So I don't get it.
Does it bother you, or you just
It always bothered me. But now Weezer has covered it because they think it's the most important song of all times.
That one didn't need to be remade.
It sounds like the exact same version.
It does.
They barely put their own
spin
like on it.
Karaoke version.
I don't get it. Why does everybody think that that's such an important piece of music?
I always just thought it was a one-hit wonder. I didn't know it had significance to it. This is
All right. Yeah, I know. All right, hold on. Stand by. So, you know what? They're telling me.
I think it was from a needling from a fan on Twitter that caused them to go, the Weezer to go and do the cover. So there you go.
Number one.
Jimmy Kimmel had his own thoughts on Roseanne last night.
This first season of the show is also its last, which is a huge blow to business. I mean, we don't have much on this network. We're hoping the NBA Finals goes 11 games this year. We're still airing America's Funniest Home Videos, okay? Roseanne was a very bigly hit for ABC, and we needed it.
Yeah.
That is true. All right, close it up.
The top five at five.